Welcome to the Grateful Shows podcast. Long-form reviews exploring the world of Grateful Dead live shows through history, philosophy, fiction, and poetic meditations. I'm your guide, host, and author, J.Y. Pod, asking you to join me as we take a step back. This edition of the Grateful Shows podcast takes us back to March 23rd, 1986, a Sunday night at the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We'll do the first set this episode, and then feel free to join us next episode for the second set. Shall we go? Grateful Shows, Tour Book 2, Show Number 4, a meditation on the Philadelphia Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Sunday, March 23rd, 1986, Special Philly. Set 1. Gimme Some Lovin'. It boils and bubbles. It stirs up trouble, at least for those still pissing around in the lot or searching for their suddenly misplaced tickets. Check the halls in throes of folly, bursting with incoming heads who scramble like a group of possessed rabbits. The musical buildup, and then bang, here they are. You've got to be kidding. Third performance ever of Gimme Some Lovin'. The charmed Philly crowd roars in approval. Phil runs the tune. He's locked and loaded. Right-hand man Brent is doing the business on keys. Everybody's getting higher. So glad you made it. Barely. You have no idea. Kill it, Phil. We're pulling for you. Now that's a proper show opener. Gimme Some Lovin' firmly establishes a loose, fun tone, quelling any fears about Hampton's energy seamlessly transitioning to the Spectrum. High spirits, high tension, high on life. Remember to savor these moments of wonder, for as we age, they will dwindle and slip like fine sand through our fingers. It can happen to you. We recall the plastic-covered sofa and the brown shag rug in our grandparents' house, where we sit quietly with our sister as Grandpa carefully removes the vinyl record from its sleeve and places it on the record player, somewhere inside the huge stereo console made of what we thought was a single enormous tree trunk. He would then deliberately walk in front of the stereo, brush off his suit, and give his hat a quick shake, smiling broadly at us. He was always such a finely dressed gentleman, as were seemingly every adult back then. Soon, Grandpa would join Frank Sinatra in singing for his rapt audience of two. Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you when you're young at heart. We miss his heartfelt performances. He really loved that man. And at that age, there was no reason not to believe only good things could happen to us. But Grandpa passed a couple years after this memory, lung cancer, that he never let on about until he was finally admitted to the hospital. We never even had a chance to visit. It was for the best, as evidenced by this memory, a good one, where the magic of believing that good things can happen to good people hung in the air like his ever-present cigar smoke. Well, Grandpa, you'll be happy to know that not only are we still young at heart, but we also remain young at mind and, okay, if you're willing to stretch the definition a bit, young at body as well. Young enough to keep up with the onstage mayhem, that is. We clap and yell, hey, with the best of them. And when the song is over, we emerge with a grin wider than Grandpa's, basking in the delight of his grandchildren. What a mood. And it isn't ending either. Deal. A two-song first set? Impossible. Imagine the confusion of someone who just got here. The first fucking set is over? I hate the ticket takers, my friends, the nitrous balloon sellers, the drum circles, and the traffic on the Schuylkill River Bridge. To hell with all of you for making me late. Settle down, my friend. You didn't miss shit. Besides, confusion and elation are part and parcel of the dead experience, says the dude next to us. Oh, to be so eloquent in the face of such a musical assault. The more cynical among us think silently, I'll take things that never happened for 100, Alex. Jerry is happening, though. He has made a concentrated effort to do so. The pacing is perfect. The vibe is perfect. The situation is perfect. A Gimme Some Lovin' deal to open. Ah, the days when a ticket to paradise could be had for less than 20 bucks. We are so smitten with our luck that we neglect the niggling character creeping up our legs. It scales us with tiny wires and settles into our brains, infiltrating our emotional center. A big old paranoid bug just has to raise an issue. What if this deal doesn't jam out at the end? Like one of those 70s versions. That wouldn't be so perfect now, would it? It's kind of early in the set. Paranoid bug. Point taken. Negativity and distrust in the face of unfamiliar situations are common emotions. These defense mechanism traits were built into our system long ago to repel attacks against our tribe. Now, they mostly serve to sniff out telemarketers and religious solicitors. The thought barely finishes before Garcia responds with a blistering barrage of notes to squash the paranoid bug so efficiently that, unless she is carrying eggs that hatch outside their host, we doubt she'll make an appearance in these parts again. Getting gritty as hell with it, a state of mind our Philadelphia brethren are well pleased with, since grit is the hallmark of any true Philly fan. What's more, upon further review, Jerry is not cheap with the jamming on this version either, regardless of set placement. It has already obliterated last summer's version in Rainy Hershey. He solos with intent. "Behold the heat," he says. This is ferocious and mean, meant to strip away any lingering Hampton memories, as if to say, the time is now, the place is here, and the friends with you are all that exists. You are a single point of light, and our shared time is the only element occupying this space. Given permission, we will master this realm. We will build it in our likeness. We will call the Philadelphia Spectrum our own. As a result, those who continue to yearn for Hampton-adjacent experiences are summarily sliced, diced, and thrown onto the Teppan Grill for consumption by those with more immediate goals. Hampton is officially dead. As for you folks, present, attentive, and willing to enjoy the ride, it's all we've got. Willie and the Hand Jive. And what sorcery is this? A present directly from the spirit of rock and roll itself. Hand jive? Better than a hand job any day of the week and twice on Sunday. This being Sunday, this stroll down memory lane is doubly satisfying. Danny and Sandra D can stay, but Rizzo, take that Kinnicky and his hickeys outside. The deal has gone all the way down to the 50s, and we are bopping in this socks hop with all we got. The dance moves are retro. The clapping and the beat overtake the spectrum as it shrinks, compresses, and reinvents itself as the coolest high school gym in Pennsylvania. We feel a tap on our shoulder. Dinged already. We've been given our best moves, practiced in front of the mirror in anticipation of tonight's big dance party. No fucking way are you going to pry me from this floor, Mr. Teacher, or security. Yeah, we got tickets. Want to see them? Hopefully the paper we pull out of our pocket is actually a ticket and not a hastily scribbled set list, or worse. Just let us go, Daddy-O. Besides, what you don't know is that there are a couple of greaser friends out back who are ready to cut you if you don't leave us alone. Grease is the word, and the feeling, and the way we successfully slide away from any form of security, including Principal Ledbetter. All names have been changed to protect the innocent. We're on American Bandstand before they dragged it out west. We've got the pure vibe among us. No hamming it up for the cameras as Bob serves an authentic dish of nostalgia. But seriously, what on earth possessed this song's choice? It's the most fun we've had dancing since necking in the 56 Thunderbird out at Sutter's Point. We go up and down the bleachers, accepting kisses on the cheek from flirty girls wearing scarves neatly tied around their necks, while giving the thumbs up to all the fine gentlemen in their best blue jeans and t-shirt combination. Leather jackets optional in this heat. Don't worry about the bomb. Mom has everything under control. And Dad is sure to relax after a few rounds at the liquor cabinet. If you want us, we'll be up in our room, spinning the newest 45 on the record player our brother got us for his birthday last month. Wait a minute. That song wasn't about masturbation, was it? Candyman. Finally, respite from the confusing set timings, song placements, signs of the times, and one-offs. And what is going on in Philadelphia? Three songs, each an entirely separate movie, disappear, leaving only the sound of film clacking against the projector. It's showtime proper. First with teases, then plunging into a familiar first set journey. Jerry smooths out an inviting blanket for all of us to listen. Bearings must be set, neighborly introductions must be made, and boundaries must be drawn. We're here for the long haul, and with two full nights to go. Time to listen to this song of the South. We don't even hail from Memphis, and we've already learned to talk the jive. Hand jive, that is. Considering our present state, it may be the only recognizable form of communication we have left. And man, while that hand jive was awesome, you won't be running around the lot telling that to strangers, lest you be misunderstood as a sexual deviant. Loud cheers praising the violent intentions toward Mr. Benson aside, the Grateful Dead gradually transformed Philadelphia into a more compassionate and tolerable place. One journey up and down the fretboard at a time. This groove is so pleasant, we construct a hammock to invite a few strangers over for a rockathon. Pillows optional. The dead proceed to coo and oo us to sleep. Metaphorically, that is. We couldn't be more awake. No way in hell are we missing a note of this tune. And Garcia is on point. Every note, Every growl and every grimace is met with adulation and proper cheers. This Philly crowd knows how to give it. X-Factor alert? Forget the X-Factor and your X. The dead have distilled the secret to the 23rd letter of the alphabet. They deliver it to the Candyman, who carries it with him, doling out portions to those willing to accept his morsels of kindness. Cassidy. Gangbusters. Not a moment lost as we wind our way through the great Pacific Northwest with a 300-word-per-minute sage we never met but feel every time the wind blows a certain way. Yeah, this old way. Pages from the finest American authors flutter in front of us. We reach out and grasp them, reading what we can before they slip away once more. But it's never enough. There's always more, no matter how many times the dream is repeated, and we don't get any smarter. Invoke the classics, those lasting great works. They are woven with a common thread. Their rhetoric transcends time, space, and geography, resonating deeply with humanity's core. Do you have what it takes to create something that endures the test of time? Does it have universal merit? Is it pertinent to the human condition? Does the experience include fear and suffering, happiness and remorse, as well as a thrilling journey across this vast country with a speed-addled friend who incessantly discusses ideas that won't materialize for several decades? And when those ideas do come true, will you still be by his side to witness his prophecy? Or will you have become the person who, having given up on his own dreams and passions, refuses to acknowledge that if he had acted on his ideas earlier in life, they might have come true as well? Don't fret about it. When we get lost in the jam, engulfed by a dazzling storm, keep in mind that rivers invariably flow towards the sea, that a poet's words can capture the weather of the times most accurately, and that few suffer harm by pursuing their passion. Literacy is a gift far too often taken for granted. We are the lucky ones, allowed to peer into the greatest minds of not only this generation, but the generations before us. Understanding the keys to humanity's faults and lapses into temptation allows us to learn from past mistakes and strive for a better future. The path away from suffering is mapped out and waiting, but as the song winds down into a slow climax, it escapes us, like a dream you convinced yourself you would remember upon awakening, only to lose it the moment you rolled over to hit the snooze button. West LA Fadeaway. Speaking of lapses, the next tune rolls in, not a moment too soon. A song about good friends we had and good friends we have lost along the way. West LA is a tribute to those we have lost. We speak the words they want to hear. If there was anything we could have done, had we known? But we knew. Even when we didn't want to, we knew. And when we tried to hide it, guilt does what it does best. It embeds itself in your mind, convincing you that every day exists just to twist the knife deeper, forcing you to ignore the pain a little longer until it becomes all-consuming. But not today, not on this stage, not on your watch. Brent's synth is too thick. Phil stands guard while his brother tells the tale that, unfortunately, many of us know too well. Is tonight's music enough to keep us in the clear? We will wrestle with this question for many more years, causing great consternation among those who love us. Our love is presently absorbed in Garcia's strained voice and the hypnotic tone that refuses to grant us release. For now, the music exterminates those unpleasant bugs crawling beneath our skin, where they silently feast, leading us to bad decisions and eventual ruin. Like the song says, "Rain, rain, come back another day, little Robert Anthony wants to play." There's a lesson in here somewhere, but everything has turned so green and our love hammock dissolves, leaving us cold, apologizing to those confused new best friends lying next to us on the floor. We are all right, we promise you. We do appreciate the looks of concern, though. Our obsession is to try to make sense of it all. What triggers musical differences between shows? The day off, the drive, the shared experience, the unofficial caravan making its way north, the sound system, the electrical current. All these parts add to the formula, but in what aspect exactly? If we could just get deeper inside. There are some goings-on in the city of Philadelphia that cannot be explained so early in the set, and it is our job to take on the city's pain and confusion and provide healing. But first, ourselves. Bro, give it up and just enjoy yourself like the rest of us. The collective Philly contingent has spoken, and thus, the case of the great quality caper is hereby considered closed, much like the law enforcement officials closed their case after finalizing the paperwork on the young comedic genius who had looked too deeply for answers one too many times. Mama tried. Family ties are meant to be broken, or stretched, twisted, and tied into a phalanx of knots impenetrable even to the sword-wielding gods. It's hard to imagine a young Bobby out on the ranch breaking down steers, but he did it, and look where it got him. Respect, and a place in the greatest band in the land. This wild and woolly set is nicely paced. We say woolly, as in a pair of chaps worn by muscular cowboys for whom songs like these are written. Despite their ruggedness and deep understanding of the land, they tend to reserve a special place in their hearts for the woman who raised them right. Thanks, Mom. Big River. And the fun continues. Brent rolls us in the hay, and man, there's a hell of a dance on the horizon. Square, hexagon, octagon, pentagon, and otherwise. Do-si-do and around we go. Throw it all away to join the great rivermen of a century ago for an authentic American experience. A river runs through it. Yes, it does. The mightiest river, cutting through a land that values size over everything. The bigger, the better. And that includes our rivers, cars, and unfortunately, over time, the security crew at the airport. Oh, calm down. This is about their presence, not their physical shape. Arriving in America is like arriving at boot camp. You don't have the customs duty card filled out? Go over there. No, we don't allow that here, sir. The other line. You get big and you get big-headed when the rest of the world is knocking at your door. And in the process, you tend to get small when it comes to letting others join this club. The music has much to say about this policy and mindset, because when everything is running smoothly, some things are better left unspoken. Besides, Big River gets the job done. The job was to progress us through the set, into the next song, to the next set, to the next show, eventually spitting us out at the end of the tour, a mangled mess of emotions, experiences, saddled with a wealth of choices. Better to just crawl back into the safe space of music. Someday, we are going to thank Brent for playing so nicely on the keys. We'll do it next time. First, we've got to cool off. The show has been on fire so far. Yet another first set worth keeping. Might as well. The heat keeps coming with yet another journey. Done with this country, we boogie across Canada with Janice the band and a host of other musicians circa the early 70s. Mighty swell, mighty swell. A groundswell gains momentum in the ancient American capital of Philadelphia. Let freedom ring. Bang on the boxcar, beat on the Liberty Bell, put another crack in it, and say what the hell. We are about to test the limits of freedom. For those who want to come along, it's all fun, revelry, and a big sweet kiss on the cheek. No one? Okay, how about some free hugs? Let's celebrate, everyone, as we wrap up the incredible first set journey. The dead have dismantled the barriers, created a clear space, and prepared the spectrum for what promises to be an exhilarating run. The energy is off the hook, and so are any other cliches you choose. Palpable might actually be the word we are searching for. Yes, we'll go with that. The energy is palpable. Grab a slice, snarf it down, and let it sit in your stomach to grow so it can meet the demands of the upcoming second set. As Garcia growls it out, you know what's going to happen. The coal embers have started to cool. The engine begins to sputter, and as we approach the cliff, the entire spectrum pulls the plug, collapsing in one large puddle of ecstasy. Where do we sign? God damn, that was hot, hot, hot. End of set.
We'll be right back.
So, that does it for the first set. Thank you so much for choosing to spend time with us here at the Grateful Shows podcast. See you next set. If this reading of Grateful Shows has given you something to sit with, I'd be glad to have you along for the rest of the ride. You can listen on whatever platform suits you best. The link is in the show notes. And if you'd like to go deeper, the written work behind these readings will be available as a complete tour book upon finishing the tour. Again, the link is below. A short note on Podchaser would mean a great deal at this early stage of the show's life. And if you'd like to receive occasional communication about the writing and what's coming next, the newsletter sign-up is in the show notes too. Thank you so much for listening.